Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 8 today. We've been just working our way through Luke. Every once in a while we'll make a little bit of a sidetrack. But I think for the next couple weeks we'll be there. We'll be there for Friend Day, talking about how Jesus calms the storms in life for next week. Today we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 21 of chapter 8 of the Gospel of Luke. What are some of the things we've talked about in the Gospel of Luke? Just kind of doing some reflection. What are some of the things that we've talked about that you can remember? Wow, you remembered that. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Yes, good. Good. What else? What else? What else have we learned from the Gospel of Luke? Thinking. You can kind of look back through your Bible a little bit. You can cheat. All right. What else have we learned? Two weeks ago, we learned about, what am I doing? Sowing. We talked about the parable of the sower, right? All right. We talked about just the importance of sowing the seed. We're going to reflect on that a little bit. We've talked about blessing and cursing, loving your enemies. We talked about the fruit and its tree. You know how you recognize a tree by its what?
Fruit.
Remember we had the pictures up there and we had you guys identify them. The wise and the foolish builder, the guy that built his house upon the rock. We talked about the faith of centurions. We talked about faith. We've talked about a lot of good things that Luke recorded for us. He was not an eyewitness account in the Gospel of Luke. In Acts he is. He wrote Luke and Acts. To Theophilus, we think maybe he was maybe a Roman official, but Luke went and kind of did some of the investigative work and reported it to Theophilus. But Luke, he was not an eyewitness. He was not with Jesus through much what we see. He was saved later on in life, came out of the church in Antioch, which would be kind of the hub of Christianity as the church began to grow and develop. It would move from Jerusalem to Antioch, especially for the Gentile people out of Antioch. So he gets saved, he investigates, he records that, and now we are the recipients, even still today, of what Luke wrote to us. So he begins, we just covered, 2 weeks ago, we covered the parable of the sower. We had Brad Novoside here last week for college emphasis. Good to have some of the college kids back. Good to have you here. Doan had a good game yesterday, I guess, and took out a rated team there, so they had it was a good day for Doan. All right, so we are in Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 16. We're going to talk about the truth about the truth. The truth about the truth, okay? I know that seems a little redundant, but you'll catch it here in a second, okay? The truth about the truth. Let's just open up with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for the word of God, which is sharp. It's able to divide soul and spirit. It is able to penetrate areas of our life that nothing else can. And that's what we ask this morning, Father, that your word would penetrate not only our heart, but our mind, our very being, so that we can be transformed by your word and by your Holy Spirit. We give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. Let's begin with verse 16 this morning, the truth about the truth. Luke is writing his gospel in a way that it all makes sense. Okay? One part leads to the next part. So we have the context of the parable of the sower where Jesus tells a parable of a man that goes out and he throws out the grain. They broadcast the seed. That's where they did it in those days. They didn't have those air seeders, okay? But they broadcast it. Some of the seed fell on the road. Where did some of the other seed fall? Thorns, rocky soil, but some fell on good soil and produced a great crop. Okay? So he's talking about that. And then he shifts into verse 16. It says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." Have you ever lit a candle? All right, why do you light a candle? For light? What else? Scent. Yeah, now, you know, I don't know if they had Scentsy back then or scented candles, Yankee Candle. I don't know if they were in business at that point. Sometimes we light a candle for the mood, right? It's kind of a romantic mood, all right? Sometimes the smell. My wife likes the wood wick ones. Come on, Josh. Get your wife a wood wick candle. She will thank you forever, all right? All right. All right, they're a special candle. All right, you don't light a candle and then hide it, right? The purpose of lighting the candle is to produce light or maybe scent, aroma, but it has a purpose, all right? Now, you might light candles, but in our day and age, if we need light, we need to shed light on the situation, we maybe get out a flashlight, right? Okay, feel like a deer in the headlights. Now, you're not going to turn on the flashlight and then go like this, right? Right? It wouldn't make any sense. The purpose of the flashlight is to shed light. All right? Okay, are you guys following me on this? I know this is really hard, but the purpose of the light is to shed light. Okay? And what Jesus was getting at is that the purpose of the truth is to be put out there, to shed light in the community, in the hearts and lives of people. It was the reason why the truth was being sent out there is so that it would be shared. So your first principle is the truth is intended to be shared. And see, Jesus was sharing the truth, whether it was the parable of the sower, whether it was a tree and its fruit. He was sharing and communicating truth. He was shedding light in a dark world, okay? He was communicating the truth. And it helped people to know the way to God. Okay, you ever turned on a flashlight so you could find where you're walking at night? Right? You're out camping, right? And you don't want to fall in a hole or trip on. So you use a flashlight to see where you're going. Doesn't God's truth function like that in our own lives? It's through God's word that we know that if any man should call on his name, they will be saved. Right? God's word is truth. We find out that I'm a sinner, that I need God's grace, that I need his forgiveness. It shows us the way to God. It's a pathway to us. And Psalms talks about that, that your word is a light unto my path, right? It shows us where to walk and to go. But it also, you ever turned on the light and found out, ooh, I forgot to clean in here, right? You ever had that happen? You turn the light off again? The truth of God's word also kind of reveals stuff that's the good stuff, but also the bad stuff, doesn't it? And as Jesus was communicating truth and from community to community, along the seashore or in the communities out in the country, he communicated truth and people were finding out how they could know God. He was shedding light in a dark world and showing them the way to God, saying, walk this way. This is where you need to go. This is the way you can come to know God. But it also exposed people's sin. The Pharisees looked spiritual on the outside, but as Jesus began to communicate, he said, you know what, you guys look good on the outside, but on the inside, when you turn on the light of truth, there's some ugly stuff there. And the Pharisees didn't like that. And they did everything that they could to hide the truth, right? To cover it up. And as Jesus shared the truth, at times it brought opposition. And Jesus says, you know what? I didn't come into the world to be the light of the world. Doesn't it say that in Scripture, that Jesus is the light of the world? I didn't come into the world to be a light and then hide it. I'm here to communicate the way to God and to show the truth. And at times it brought opposition. In fact, it would ultimately mean that he would go and die on the cross. But the truth is intended to be shared, not covered up or not to be hidden. Light, truth, illuminates what we can see so we can walk, make right decisions. That is the truth of God's word. That is the purpose of God's word. Which leads to the second point, verse 17. It says, For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought into the light. You can't hide the truth. Now, people try to hide the truth, don't they? A lot of times they try to hide the truth that they don't want anybody to find out, bad truth. And that is true, but I don't think that's where Jesus was going as much as people hiding their sin. What he was saying is that you can't hide the truth of God's word. Now, the Pharisees tried to do that, okay? They tried to do that with Jesus, saying, you know, they would persecute him, and at times they tried to kill him. They tried to throw him off of a cliff right at the beginning of his ministry. But it said that he walked through the crowd and went on his way. But they tried to oppose the message and him communicating truth. They didn't like what he had to say. But Jesus says, you know what? The truth is always going to be found out. It can't be concealed. It can't be hidden. Now, after Jesus' crucifixion, the early church, you have the day of Pentecost. And the church begins to grow. 3,000 are saved that first day, right? Acts chapter 2. And the Pharisees say, you know what, man, this church is growing. And so they bring in the leaders, the apostles, Peter and John, and they say, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. They tried to squash that light and the truth. But the truth began to spread. No matter what the Pharisees did, the truth began to spread. And the apostles still shared the word of God. And the church grew and grew. Because you can't conceal the truth. It is God's word. In China, I don't know how much you know your history. When did communism take over China? Anybody know? Dun, 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 dun. All right. You didn't make it on, what is that show? Not Jeopardy. There you go. 1949 is when communism took over in China. And there were missionaries in China prior to that, but once communism took out, they had to leave. And so you had some small churches, small works, a few believers in China. And the fear was that in those years of communism that the church had been choked out, it had died. And with communism, that people had no way of knowing what was happening within the country of China. But in the last 10 years, the doors have begun to open up. And people have been able to get in there. And what did they find? What did they find? Had the church been squashed? No, it had exploded. It hasn't just survived. It had exploded to phenomenal numbers. And the truth had gotten out. And see, what Jesus had to share is that, you know what, you can try and hide the truth. You can try and hide the light. But truth will be revealed. You can't conceal it. It's going to be made known. And no matter what the Pharisees did and those that opposed God's truth, the truth still went forth and is still going forth in our day and age. The truth of God's word. And so the second principle is that truth ultimately will be revealed. You know, and I think even in Iran, Egypt, and Syria, did you know there's Christians there? You're not going to hear about that in the news. But they could probably really use your prayers. Because they are the target of persecution and hostility. They are living the truth in a very hostile nation, where many times embracing Christ can mean your life. And so pray for those believers. But the truth is that the Christians are there, you know, and even in the midst of this persecution, and in the midst of all the turmoil that is taking place in all those countries, you know what, do you think God could maybe bring something good out of that? And that his truth could go forth? I think it could. Amen? I think it can. Well, Jesus goes on to the third point. Verse 18, he says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. So whatever, if you have some, you're going to be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. So he's still talking about truth here. And what he's saying is, be careful how you listen. And the truth that is being, you are receiving, that you are hearing. Because if you hear the truth and you do nothing with it, what you have is going to be taken away from you. But if you take that truth and apply it to your life and live it out in your life, God says, you know what, I'm going to even give you more. In other words, the principle is there is if you use it, you get more. But if you don't use it, you lose it. We use that saying all the time. And that's the truth there. Is that we have to implement, that's the third point, implement God's truth entrusted to you. Now, you've all received the truth, whether it's on Sunday morning as we go to God's Word and we study it, and maybe on a Wednesday night, a small group. Maybe you study the Bible on a daily basis. That would be a good thing. But as you do that, you have to allow the truth of God to work in your life. If you get the truth and it comes into your life and you say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything with it, I'm not going to allow it to change my life, God says, you know what? You've received the truth, but you haven't received it into your life. And then what you have will be taken away from you because you haven't utilized it. You know, a lot of people, I bet you if you did a survey across Crete, Nebraska, I bet you about every home would have a Bible, at least one Bible in their home. Now, they may not be in church on Sunday morning, but they probably have a Bible. Now, it'd be interesting to see just how many of them are covered with dust and remain on the shelf, right? You can have the truth, but if you are not applying it to your life and using it, Jesus says, you know what? What you have will be taken away. But if you receive the truth and have that hunger for more, more will even be given unto you. An example is if, how many know another language, a second language? All right, a few of you. Okay, now the key to learning a second language and keeping a second language is what? Is using it. All right, I've learned Hebrew and Greek, okay? And I've lost a lot of that even though it's been, what, 8-10 years, okay? Since I've kind of taken those classes. And when you're taking a class, you're embedded in it, you're using it every day. But if you don't utilize that, it begins to fade and you begin to lose what you once had. All right, but if you utilize it on a day-to-day, you grow and you mature and you gain even more. We were just talking about, I was in a continuing ed class down in Missouri this week, and we just talked about our brain and how we learn with our brain. And, you know, we think that even when we get older, we can't learn, right? And that is so far from true. It's not maybe as easy to learn things. We don't pick it up quite as fast. But it shows that the more we keep on learning, the more our brain develops new pathways. And it just keeps on going, and we really don't tap into all that our brain can handle. And so it's important that we keep on learning and keep on expanding ourselves, you know. And, you know, there's people that say, you know what, I graduate from college, I get my master's degree, I'm not cracking a book again, or I'm not reading a book again. You know, that's the worst thing. Because that means your learning has stopped. And it becomes so essential that if you are going to learn and stay sharp, that you keep on learning. One of my, I don't know, I consider, he has his PhD in math and science, I think. His name is Dr. Love, but I got to have lunch with him this week. And he was kind of my boss a little bit when I was at Springfield and worked there. But he's pushing 80 now. But I tell you what, that guy is so brilliant and so sharp still. But he keeps learning, he keeps growing. And he still comes into the office 3 days a week, and he just keeps on going. He doesn't know the word for retirement. And he's still out there just doing what God has called him to do. And I believe he stays sharp because he's constantly trying to grow and mature. Implement God's truth in your life. God's truth is not meant to be a reservoir or just to hear it and just let it go. It requires action on our part. That if we hear, we have to respond in some way, don't we? We have to respond in accordance to God's word. We read the passage about to bless and not curse. I have a choice from there on out. Because now in my conversations, when I'm at work and other people are talking down other people, am I going to join in and be part of the cursing of other people and talking them down? Or am I going to be part of maybe helping to turn the conversation and talk about good things? See, I have a choice now. When Scripture says to not be anxious, but to come to God in prayer with thanksgiving and praise, and to bring my request before God, now that's the truth of God's Word. Now I have a choice to align myself with God's truth. He shed light on the situation. Now I have a choice. Am I going to continue to be anxious and do my old thing? Or am I going to now go to God with prayer and thanksgiving and align my life with His truth? Implement the truth that God has entrusted to you. And as we do, it requires us to respond in accordance to it, which leads to the final three verses. Your Bible probably hasn't separated there, but they go together. It says in verse 19, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. And they're probably meeting in a house, a large house. And the crowd was there, and they were not able to get near him because of the crowd, right? Crowd was so large and packed in there that they couldn't get to the front where Jesus was. And someone told them and says, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. Okay, they sent a message in. And what does Jesus say? What does he say? He says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Now, he wasn't dishonoring his mother or his brothers. That wasn't the purpose. What he was doing is he was talking about the truth that as the truth is revealed, we have a choice. We can hear the word of God, but if we don't practice it, we're not part of God's kingdom. Those that are part of God's kingdom and part of his family are those that hear the truth and now live it out in their lives, day in, day out, what they think, what they do, aligning it with their lives. That's who's part of God's family. Now, that's not my job to determine who that is. That's God's job. But he was bringing the point across is that Jesus was going from town to town communicating the truth. And like the parable of the sower, it was getting a mixed result. Some people were receiving the truth and going with it and telling others, and they were growing, they're maturing because they were taking the truth and allowing it to change their lives. But others were getting choked out by the anxieties and cares of the world. Some didn't have any root or foundation. And some, that truth just laid there and it was taken away. It had mixed results. The truth is going forth. And as we get into God's word, we have a choice to make. And so the fourth principle is hearing and living the truth results in access into God's family. And that'll be a common theme throughout the Gospels is to not only hear the truth, but obey the truth. The truth of God's word calls us to sexual purity. It calls us to give and not steal. It calls us to bless and not curse, to have faith and not worry, to be joyful and not anxious, to you fill in the blanks. It calls us to align ourselves with the truth of God's word. And I think one of the worst things is to hear the truth and not allow it to change our lives. Or to say, you know what, I know what God's word has to say, but I'm going to do it my way. You know, there's a lot of good songs out there, right, on secular radio. So I'm going to do it my way. Well, my way a lot of times ends up usually with a lot of hurt, a lot of damage to our lives. And then we come back to God and say, God, my way didn't work, right? God says, trust in me, listen and obey, and apply my truth to your life. I'm going to have the musicians come. And as they do, I want you to talk to your neighbor one more time. You can be a little more personal as much as you feel comfortable with. But you've heard the truth of God's word this morning. Okay? We've looked at God's word. That word, his word is truth. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them two things that you're going to do in response to God's word this morning. As you've heard the word of God, what is God speaking to you about this morning? And just be, you know, I guess you just have to use how well you know your friend and your neighbor. And but whatever is shared, just keep between the two of you. But would you take that time just to share two things that God has spoken to your life this morning, that as a truth has gone forth, what are you going to do in response to his truth this morning? And it may be totally different, because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He's going to take his word this morning and apply it to all your lives. So what is God speaking to you this morning? Turn to your neighbor and tell them. Have you stand up. We're going to close with the chorus. Just going back to the parable of the sower, Luke arranges this so that it all kind of ties together. But Jesus says, you know, if the seed was kept in a seed bag, that's what they did in those days. They would have kind of like a bag, side bag, okay? Some of the college students use those now, right? Instead of a backpack. But the seed was kept in there, and Jesus says, you know what? I'm not going to keep the seed in the bag. It's God's truth. Okay? I'm not going to keep it secret. The purpose why I came and why truth is here is so that I came to be a light to the world. Now it's going to have varying results, but I'm going to scatter that truth. Okay? And we've all heard God's truth this morning, so now we need to respond to that. Allow God to speak to us. But even with friend day, to sow, God's placed his truth in you, not just to keep it quiet, not to conceal it. Whether you're at college, at school, at work, he hasn't. Matthew kind of takes it a little bit different view, or just a little different context from this. He says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God has not called you to hide the light of God, the truth in your life. He's called you to let it shine to the rest of the world. Amen? Let your light shine. So let's close with that chorus this morning.